Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lynn.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lynn's sanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife in. There's some Beatles. 4:05 on this Monday morning. Welcome back off the weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. But we put it behind us as we get ready for game number 4. Knicks Celtics tonight, Madison Square Garden. The tickets are just the same, man. It's expensive to get in the building. The atmosphere was great on Saturday. The excitement was great on Saturday. The fans were there. And then the game started. And then it ended real quick as the Knicks gave you a lackluster effort. Weren't as good at anything as they were in the first two games. And even those games, they fell behind 20. And they were even worse in this one as the defense was terrible. Celtics rained down threes. The Knicks talked about, specifically Jalen Brunson, talked about the subconscious mindset of, you know, being up 2-0. The Celtics were the more desperate team, came out and played that way. There's really not much to break down the game. They got blown out. The threes just kept falling. They hit 65% at one point. They end up hitting 50% of their threes in a blowout victory. The Knicks never really got into the game. And to me, we look to tonight now, after much talk about whether or not game 3 was a must-win, tonight now is a must-win for the New York Knicks. They cannot afford to squander that 2-game lead. They cannot lose both games and what would be 4 consecutive games in the playoffs here at Madison Square Garden. They have got to come out and prove they can win in this building. They have to come out and prove that they have more in them than just some fourth-quarter runs to steal 2 games. And that this game specifically, I mean, obviously, we're going to find out a lot in the first half. Because they cannot continue to fall behind. Like, it goes without saying. It's obvious. They have to, and really, to me, as poor as they were defensively in game number 3, and as many open looks as the Celtics got, to me, this team was built all year. Right, and we've talked about the dynamic of this team and then the shift of a team that was a little bit better defensively when Mitchell Robinson came back and a team that's tough and gritty, and they've answered some of those questions. I know I was talking a lot about that since game 2, that I feel confident with them, and they're tougher than we thought, and they're grittier than we thought, and they're capable of more, and Mikal Bridges at the end of these games and their defensive effort and everything like that. But ultimately, this team all year was built on its offense. This is one of the better offensive teams in the NBA this year. And they haven't played that way at all in this series. I know they've come back and put on these, you know, epic runs in the first 2 games. And you know, Mikal Bridges with 14 points in the second half. And they have the best closer in the sport in Brunson. And they figured it out and gone on these runs. But it's also will have to have obviously been aided by a Celtic team that couldn't hit a shot down the stretch. This Knicks team is far better than what they've put forward in this series, and they're still up 2-1. So I know it was an embarrassing effort, and I know they didn't meet the crowd, the excitement, the anticipation, or really what was the biggest game up until tonight, the biggest game in the last quarter of century for this Knicks team in that building. That's what Saturday was, and they didn't meet that on any level. There's no doubt, there's no hiding from that. And this Boston team, sure, did they take momentum back in the series? Of course. Did they prove they're not as bad or, you know, choke-worthy as they were in the first 2 games? Sure. Did they look more like the NBA champions we saw last year than they did in the first 2 games of the series? Absolutely. But they are not unbeatable. I mean, they are not something that the Knicks can't contend with. I still don't believe that. And I firmly believe that this Knicks team, I talked about this when I said game 3 wasn't a must win. You were going into a series against the defending champion, Boston Celtics. Did we expect it to be easy? Did they think the Knicks wouldn't win a game? Lose a game, rather. The idea that there's been a momentum shift, of course there is. That's what a series is. The momentum shifts with each game. Are the Knicks incapable of handling it? I don't think so. And it's time to show up tonight, and they got to do better offensively. OG Anunoby, 7 points in the last two games. Unacceptable. I know Karl Anthony Towns is dealing with a finger. Deal with it. He's got to figure out a way to get some more points. He's got to be tougher around the rim. He can't just be set, you know, looking for fouls. He's got to finish. And let's be honest, even Brunson, hard to kill him, hard to knock him, incredible, great in these late game scenarios. He's got to come out and be somewhat of a force to start this game. I want to see him and this offense come out and play the best first half they have played in this series. I think the first half is going to tell you a lot, because if it looks like the first three games, they're not coming back. They've got to come out and ride the energy of this crowd. It's going to be an electric atmosphere, and they've got to come out and build a, you know, they can't be playing from behind this entire series. It worked the first two games. It did not work game three. It's hard to imagine it working again on that level. They have got to find a way to get into this game early, and especially offensively, and put up some damn points and get some easy buckets. And this is the game that we find out who the Knicks are, because I refuse to believe that they can't handle a little bit of momentum switch. I refuse to believe that one Knicks loss and one Celtic victory has sealed their fate. They're up 2-1. If you would have told anybody going into the series, then I know things change when you're up 2-0. But after three games, they're the ones still in the driver's seat. They're the ones up games 2-1. They're the one playing at home to go up 3-1 in the series against the defending champs. They got to show up. And I fully expect them to. I don't know if they'll win the game, but I fully expect them to show up and give you a better effort than they gave you in game three. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
You know, Chris, you made a great point about the Giants and the salary and everything. That was good. But I just said something about the Knicks. Just a general observation that you'd be hard-pressed to find any team that got outscored by 15 threes in a game that actually won the game.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, so you're right about that. You know, I mean, that's just a general observation.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, if the Celtics come out and shoot – you know, and I know they ended with 50%, but they were shooting 65% in the third quarter. I believe it was still 60. If they're going to come out and hit 65% of their threes when they take as many as they do, it's going to be hard to beat the Celtics. There's no doubt about it.
You got to match it. You got to figure out a way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure you're going to have to make shots.
No doubt.
And what adjustments are going to be made in terms of strategy?
Yeah.
Should be very interesting, because he's got to do – now this is where the coaching part of it comes in, right?
Yeah, I agree.
They have to do something. You can't just keep your fingers crossed. The same way that when the Celtics aren't making shots, if their plan B is hack a Mitch, then they're probably not going to win either. So
No, I agree. And listen, they didn't come up with a – the Celtics didn't come up with a game plan. The Celtics didn't change anything. They hit all their shots. That's it. They came out and played the exact same game they played in game one and two. The difference is they hit it. They hit every damn three they took in the first half. That's the difference. Now, I agree with you. We'll see. You know, that double big lineup really presented a problem for the Celtics. Maybe start that and get like the energy of Hart coming off the bench. I don't know if they would do that this late in the game, but yeah, I'm open to change some things up. I also don't want to panic. I don't want to make moves that seem like I'm overly concerned. It's a series. They got to come out there and be more proficient offensively. They've missed every damn shot. Now, again, OG Anunoby, he's got to be more involved in the offense. He's just got to be. He was their guy. When Brunson went down, he was the guy who stepped up and scored. He shot the corner three very well. They've got to figure out a way to get him involved. They got to figure out a way to get Carl Anthony Towns involved. We'll see how his finger is. But they got to make it. And this is where the coaching comes into it too. Absolutely. He's going to have to start getting, they're going to have to figure some things out, but ultimately they just got to play their game. They don't have to do, the Celtics aren't changing who they are. The Knicks aren't changing who they are. Like, these playoff series aren't about changing who you are. It's just not. All right, it's not football where you can tailor you have all week to tailor your game plan against the weaknesses of your opponent. Yeah, you do that, and you try and combat them where they're not as good. And again, the double big lineup with both Karl Anthony Towns and Mitch Robinson was something they used more in this series than they did in the regular season, and it helped both defensively and a little bit offensively. And the hack of Mitch thing has been an issue. You're going to have to figure out a way. Now, look, if you're going to let them get in the bonus, let them get in the bonus. And then you're forced to take Mitch Robinson out, because I agree. Listen, he's in his own head now. It's impossible watching him take free throws. I don't understand. I'll never understand it. I know we've seen big men throughout time have issues. Will Chamberlain's had issues with free throws. Shaquille O'Neal, famously, where the hack of Shaq first came into existence, he's had issues with free throws. I can't understand. I know they're big. I know. I cannot understand how you could be so bad. He shot two air balls in the series. It's hard to imagine how bad Mitch Robinson is at shooting foul shots. Obviously, part of it's in his head. But yeah, all these shifts and all these decisions and all these coaching moves are going to dictate what happens. But this is mainly about effort, playing your game, and executing your game plan. Like, the Knicks are who they are, and all year long they've been one of the better offensive teams in the NBA. That's who they need to be. I agree with you. They got to match it on some level. You are not going to shut down the Celtics completely every game of the series. And early on in the game, they've got to find a way to get going. The emphasis on scoring early, get to the basket, maybe get to the foul line just to get some rhythm, figure out a way to get some points early in this game. Their first quarters have been hideous offensively. Even in Boston with the two wins, the first quarter offense has been terrible. They need to come out and find a way to get going offensively right off the bat. And, Karl Anthony Towns, depending on how his hand is, his ability to shoot threes, 1 of 5, at least he took 5 threes. I mean, he wasn't shooting threes. That's part of his game. I want to see him take some threes. It doesn't always have to be the crazy one from 6 feet beyond the arc, but like, he's their most, throughout the year, Karl Anthony Towns has been their most efficient 3-point shooter. He needs to be involved in the 3-point game too. I want him playing off the ball. I want him playing on the perimeter a little bit. Now, I know the size matchup dictates, especially when Porzingis isn't on the floor, and we'll see, he was a little bit more involved in this game, but in game number three. So I know the matchup dictates getting him down low, but he hasn't been overly successful with it. I want to see him get into a rhythm hitting shots. So, I mean, I think now is the game they have to show up. I think every Knicks fan would have signed for up 2-1 after three. And just because they lost game three and now momentum is shifting a little bit doesn't mean they're dead. They have a game tonight at Madison Square Garden at home, in front of a raucous crowd, because forget how much money it costs. I mean, the building was electric on Saturday. They were there. They met the task. The Knicks have to come out with that kind of urgency. And it's hard to, I'm not making excuses for them, because it's unacceptable, the effort they came out with. But it is naturally hard to match the effort of a champion who's at death's door. The Knicks weren't at death's door. No matter how much we want to say they were and play the game of, oh, this is just as important to the Knicks and blah, blah. No, it's not. It's just not. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it up. Just because you say it doesn't make it true. They were up 2-0. The Celtics needed the game in the worst way. The Knicks didn't. Now, tonight's a different story. And we'll see if they treat it as such. And I expect that they will. I expect a good game. I do. I do not think the Knicks will be blown out tonight. I will be surprised. I can't guarantee a victory. The Celtics are too damn good. I will be surprised if this isn't a game in the fourth quarter. Let's go to Michael in Staten Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, C-Mac? Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm doing great. Yeah, I want to talk about our Giants there and our plethora of quarterbacks. We have a four-headed monster. behind center, and I was wondering how
are you serious? A forehead monster? I love it.
Yeah. I'm seeing a potential. What might happen during the season? How we might even have at some certain points in the game in the season, we might have two quarterbacks on the field at once.
Which two exactly?
Well, it all depends. Wilson will be behind center. Winston might be like a flanker or whatever. We might even bring the kid in to get him some experience in certain situations. You know, maybe a bad game when he looks either side of the ball. Will he get some experience? You know, like what do you call that? The flanker where he can throw a lateral pass and then he throw another pass down the field to neighbors or someone who's streaking down the field. Okay, I'm really loving the potential of our quarterback situation this year. And then, I mean, one of the guys might be going. And which one of our quarterbacks might be getting cut?
Yeah,
I'm thinking.
How could you cut him? They need all four to play flanker. I don't think the Giants are going to have more than one quarterback on the field at any point this year. You might get the kids some experience, but they're not. I don't think none of them are that kind of athlete. Not anymore. I mean, Russell Wilson can move around the pocket better 10 years ago than he can right now, but Jameis Winston ain't doing anything else but taking five steps back and chucking it down the field if he's on the field. And, you know, maybe they'll get some experience. I don't, the four-headed monster made me laugh. We'll see. I don't think they're going to be playing on the field at the same time. I'd be surprised. But I'm not even sure what he said after that. What was his other point after the four-headed monster and the laterals to go down the field? I'm excited about the Giants. I am. I think they are in a good situation. I think Russell Wilson is a competent quarterback, and I think they can win games with this team. I like the running back tandem. Two young, really good. We'll see what, Scataboo is, but I expect him to be kind of that low to the ground, goal line back as well as explosive at different times. And obviously, Tracy had a great rookie season. You've got the Malik Nabers, a stud wide receiver. Andrew Thomas, if healthy, is a all-pro caliber left tackle. Evan Neal's going to move to guard. We'll see how that goes. But they have Illuminor as your right tackle. Like, I think the offensive line can be a lot better this year as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy. And defense, they've got arguably on paper now, if Carter is going to be what people expect him to be, I mean, a top two or three pass rush in the NFL. They added the best cornerback on the free agent market. They added arguably the best safety on the free agent market. The defense should be much improved. And they have, in my estimation, the best interior defensive lineman in the sport in Dexter Lawrence. I think the defense can be much better. I think the offense can be much better. I think they will be much better. I don't know if they're a playoff team necessarily. They play in a very difficult division. The Cowboys, while not as good as the top of the division, are always tough. And the Eagles are the best team in football and Super Bowl champs. And the Washington Commanders were just in the NFC Championship game with arguably the best rookie quarterback we've ever seen in the history of the league. So, yes, it's a difficult division. And, yes, it's a difficult schedule. So I don't know if they'll be a playoff team, but I think we will see vast improvement with the play on the field. And I think the quarterback, while I don't know if I would call it a four-headed monster, I would tell you that I think Russell Wilson can still play in this league, maybe not at a Pro Bowl level, but can still play in this league. And I think having the quarterback in the wings is exactly what they need. And I'm excited about it being that Brian Daboll was so pumped to get him, and now seeing the highlights and everything with the camp, he's coaching him hard. This is what he was brought here to do. I'm just happy that they brought in a quarterback coach and finally gave him a quarterback prospect. Like, I'm just excited about that. And now, the thing with the Saints is interesting. Obviously, Carr retires over the weekend with a shoulder injury. Could they, Jameis Winston was there for years. Would they be interested in making a trade for Jameis Winston? Could you see, I don't know where the Giants want to go. If Russell Wilson gets hurt, would they want to go? Do they want to make sure they have that backup quarterback they can play in Jameis Winston or have that dual option in case Russell Wilson just isn't very good? I would think so, but I mean, I would at least call and see if they're interested in Jameis Winston back. I don't know if they would be, but we'll see. Let's go to Jose in Waterbury. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac? How are you tonight?
Good. How are you, brother?
I'm blessed. I was going to mention a couple of things. Now you made me change topics. That was a very interesting point, but I'll try and make it quick. Number one, the Knicks fans, the Knicks fan base, I've never seen it. I don't like the Knicks, by the way. I've never seen a Knicks fan base so, like, temperamental. Like, they go from we're going all the way to we're losing if they lose one game. Like, you're still up 2-1.
It was an ugly loss, don't get me wrong. But that was my whole problem with the narrative if they had to win game three. Like, we've just been praising them. They've shown such mental toughness. They come back and win these two games. They've answered all the questions about who we think the coach is, who we think Mikal Bridges is, how tough this team is, what they're capable of. We feel all great and all good. And then we say, well, if the Celtics find their footing at all in the series, it's over. Like, I mean, they're going to have to battle back. This is going to be a tough series. I don't think if you thought this was going to be a cakewalk or otherwise they can't win it, then they're not good enough to win it. I expect them to show up tonight.
Yeah, I think they'll show up, although I don't want them to win. I think they got a shot. Secondly, I just want to make a couple quick points. I'm not a Giants fan, but I thought they had an amazing draft. That was incredible. They picked up arguably the best defensive player. They also got a quarterback that they wanted, and that running back is a sleeper. I like him. I saw him in college. He's good.
Yeah, no. They ran the offense through him. He's a tough kid. I like the draft a lot, and that's where I want running backs. Not to get into the Saquon Barkley thing, and we know he's touched by the hand of God, had a 2,000-yard season, won the Super Bowl. I get it. I have no problem with a couple of fourth-round picks being my running back tandem. I think that's exactly – it's perfect. That's what you want. I mean, you want great players, and we'll find out if either of them are great players, but I like the idea of a young running back tandem that I found late in the draft. That's what I want. And I'm excited about the team. I really am. I'm about as exciting and bullish. And the audio and the video I've seen of behind the scenes on the draft, I could not agree more. I am the idea when Joe Shane says, if we're right, no one's going to give a damn about a third-round pick. Let's take a swing. I couldn't agree more. Could he have been there in the second round? Maybe. What if he's not? What if someone jumps up and take him? Like, would it have happened? I don't know. Probably not. But what if it did? Is it worth it? Cares about that? Who cares about the 2 third-round picks? Nobody cares. If they're wrong with Jackson Dart, it's the least of their problems. And if they're right, no one gives a damn. I also have no problem with Joe Shane trying to trade up for number one. I don't think Jackson Dart, he fell all the way to the bottom. Everyone's saying now that he wouldn't have been picked in the first round. So he's going to hold it against the Giants for trading up and giving up 2 third-round picks to take him. He also sees the video of Brian Daboll practically ready to run through a wall that he drafted him. I don't think it's going to hurt his feelings all that much that they were also trying to get the number one pick in the draft to take another quarterback. I think he'll be just fine. I think since last draft, other than the wins and losses on the field, which I get and it's hard to dismiss, but other than being a miserable football team last year, and I think a lot of that had to do with the quarterback position, if not all of it, I think the draft, these last two drafts have been really good. I think they spent money in the right places in free agency this year. And as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy, I really do think that offensive line can be better. I think the Giants are going to be better than people think. And I've never been more secure or confident in the keeping of the regime of Daboll and Shane than I am now. I love the idea he's coaching this kid on the field. That's what he was hired for. I'm excited to see it. And we'll see when Jackson Dart makes his NFL debut. Hopefully it's not until late in the season or even next year. Hopefully the Giants go about winning some games and staying in the playoff picture and actually giving us a season. That'd be nice. 888-808-1019. And I promise no tanking talk. You won't hear a thing from me about losing games. I want to win every game possible. No more tanking. It's almost worth it just for that.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:35 on this Monday morning. Game 4, Madison Square Garden tonight. Knicks, Celtics, a must-win game. For me, the first one of this series for the Knicks, and they better come out and play with a more urgency than they played with in Game 3. I expect them to. To me, this is the game. This is the game. Many people wanted to put it on Saturday. This is the game. This is the game where I really feel the winner of this game is probably going to win the series. It's going to be very difficult for the Knicks, if they lose this game, to win two games in Boston. That is, if they lose this game, I mean, I guess they would be able to win one game in Boston and one game at home, rather. I'm sorry to misspeak. That's to win a third game in Boston is going to be very, very difficult. So to have to go into Boston in Game 5 and win that game, or, of course, and then having to come back and win Game 6, or losing in 5 and having to win it in 7, one way or another, it's tough to ask to win 3 out of 4 games in Boston. And that's what you would have to do if you lose this game. All the momentum would be with the Celtics. That is a tough ask against the champion. Tonight is the night at home. The Knicks have to step up and figure out a way to get this done. And yeah, it's stopping them hitting threes. Yes, it's limiting the open amount of shots that the Celtics get. It's a lot. To me, this is the game on the offense. They have yet to play an entire game, and a complete game offensively. And that's what they need. They need to be the team they were all year long. They need to be that offensive team. Now, listen, we know we questioned who that team was and whether they could win. I feel like the toughness and all the things, the intangibles that we were worried about in comparison to last year's team, I feel like they've answered a lot of those questions. It's tough to go and win. I don't care. They're down 20 points. Like, that Game 3 doesn't wipe away what they did in Games 1 and 2. It might shift the momentum a little bit, but it doesn't change what happened in those games. The Knicks went into Boston and rallied back from down 20 twice. It's still remarkable, even if Game 3 was a disaster. And I still believe in their toughness, and I still believe in all the things I felt and all the excitement we had after game number 2, game 3 doesn't wipe that away. But tonight, I want to see the offensive team who put up a buck 30, who put up a buck 20. I want to see that team and I want to see Brunson from the jump. I think it's very important to get Brunson going from the start of this game, and I think he's going to try. I think that's the first thing you're going to see. I know we don't like the hero ball, and we want some ball movement, no doubt, but this is where the superstars come out to play. I mean, let's just be honest, right? Brunson's done an incredible job this year. He's an incredible closer. What he did in the Detroit series, what he did at the end of game 1, even more than game 2, where it was mostly Bridges in game 2. But we know the incredible closer that he is. And we know, as you heard in the promo, everything that Boomer and Gio just said in the promo coming back or going into break is 100% true. I've never felt more comfortable with a Nick with the ball in his hands than Jalen Brunson. I have never felt more comfortable with, you know, a last possession as long as Jalen Brunson's on the floor as a New York Knicks fan. Like, this is the superstar we've been waiting for. It's been an incredible metamorphosis of watching him become what he was in Dallas into what he is right now for the New York Knicks. It's been incredible to watch. We love him, King of New York, all that nonsense. But this is where careers are made. This is now a series where you would like to say, even though they're undermanned, even though they're not as talented, even though they have a deeper bench, even though you can argue how good Tatum and Brown are in comparison to Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, like, even though they're defending champions, if you are a superstar in this league, if you are a top 10 player in this league, if you are who we say Jalen Brunson is, You don't allow yourself to lose a series. You're up 2-0 with the first two games on the road. And I'm not saying if they lose, he's a bum or that he's not, it's not, he's not great or he's not one of those things. I'm just saying these are the type of games that you need your superstars to pull you out of the fire and say, we're not losing this game. That's what's expected of players that we are going to praise as the best Nick to ever wear the uniform or the most comfortable I've ever been watching or the best closer in the game or this or that. Like, it takes more than just him, but this is a game because we really haven't seen him have that dominance. You know, the second half and fourth quarter of game one, no doubt, was huge. Hit those three consecutive three-pointers, enormous. The Detroit series, the finishing shot to seal the deal in game six, all of it. But what we haven't seen is him take this game by the horns from the opening tip. And tonight's not the night to be passive. Tonight's not the night. Like, tonight is the night for him to take over this game. They're going to need 40 from him, bare minimum. This is the night that he's got to take over this game. Carl Anthony Towns is having a finger issue. I don't know what his shot's going to look like. He's got to overcome that, obviously. He's got to be a huge part of this, but I just don't know what you're going to get for him. OG Anunoby has scored 7 points in the last two games, and Mikal Bridges, outside of really the second half of game number two, he's been great defensively, but offensively, I haven't seen much from him. Who's had a good offensive series in this series? Who's played a complete offensive game? This has got to be the game. I want to see it early. And like, the first half is clearly going to be telling. They have been in all these games. And I'm not saying the Knicks can't come back from a reasonable deficit. They don't have to lead the entire game, but they can't be chasing by 20, 25. It's just not going to work. We all know that. And some of it is controlling the Celtics, but there's a level that you can control them. There's a reason they shoot 60 and average 48 threes a game. And if they make them, they're going to be tough to contend with. And I get it. Defense, playing the perimeter, fighting through the screens, or switching, and obviously the length of Mitchell Robinson has been such a problem for them. And you know, the two wing stops in OG and Bridges are so important. But ultimately, you know, they're going to get some shots. They're going to score some points. It's what they do. Tonight's the game where they have to keep up offensively. It has been ugly in the first halves of all three of these games offensively. They need a big-time offensive performance in the first half of this game. That's the first thing I'm looking for. I want to see the first handful of possessions with good shots, and they got to fall. They can't be one for their first eight. They can't be two for 11. Like, that's what it's felt like in all of these games. Even game two, the win, right? They had the three from OG eventually wiped off because of the shot clock violation. They didn't score a point for the first 5 minutes of the game. Like, that can't happen. They got to get out to a fast start. And clearly the energy has to be there, and I expect it to be there from the fans. It was there, you know, in game number one at Madison Square Garden, game number three in the series. Like, it was there. So much talk about how expensive the tickets were and whether or not you're outpricing the normal fans. All of that didn't matter. The crowd was intense. The Knicks did not meet them. The Knicks did not meet the level of that, the impact of that game. And tonight has to be different. They got to get this crowd involved. They got to put a scare into the Celtics. They can't allow the Celtics to be up 20. Like, there has to be a feeling of that throughout the entire game, not just the last 4 minutes. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. Rapid fire style as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on the day of game number four. This is what's great about this. We're going to get to say this every other day. The most important game the Knicks have played in the last quarter century. Tonight, live in Madison Square Garden.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Will Friday be the biggest Subway Series since that one? Since the 2000 World Series? It feels like it. We'll start to do that later in the week, obviously, as the Yankees will, off of a series victory against the Athletics, will head to Seattle for a three-game set against the Mariners. And the Mets welcome in the loser franchise, Pittsburgh Pirates, before that series on Friday, which is obviously going to be huge. Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge. And right now, I know with the October history, other than, I mean, you know, we'll always be a conversation, but right now there is no one who compares with Aaron Judge. I mean, it's just getting, I haven't talked about it yet all morning, another four-hit performance. He has more three-hit games than no-hit games. His average is back to 409. What he's doing is, I mean, it's just crazy. He leads the league in damn near everything. He hit two home runs, so now he's with, he leads the baseball world with home runs. He's hitting 400. We're about halfway through May. I mean, what we're seeing from Aaron Judge and his ability now, I mean, he's worked on, you know, becoming more complete. Every year he works on becoming more complete, and this year the average, although he's been a 300 hitter for the last 3 years, he's taken it to another level. He is so sound and so good. It is scary. We are. I know it just becomes boring to talk about it. We just take it for granted. We don't, you know, we are watching one of the greatest, if not the greatest, right-handed hitter of all time. Like, that's where we are. Like, it's scary how good he is. And really, I mean, a lot of people are down on the Yankee offense. The third baseman, agreed. The bottom of the order, particularly against left-handed pitching, although Dominguez is coming around, hit a big home run against a left-handed pitcher in this series on his three-homer night. The Yankee offense has been great. They lead the American League in damn near every statistic. They lead the American League in batting average. They lead the American League in OPS. They lead the American League in OPS plus. They lead the American League in runs scored. They lead the American League, you know, like, they lead the American League in everything. They have like 7 out of the 9 guys with an above average OPS plus. Like, the Yankee lineup isn't the issue at all. The issue has been the bottom of the rotation, and right now with what you got from Warren, you're hoping that can kind of turn that around and just blowing games they shouldn't be losing. If Williams wasn't on this team, they're 6 or 7 games up in first place. They blew like 3-4 games, and we'll see how it goes from here. But that big series, and you know, the Mets, we did a lot on the Mets today because I can't stop talking about Griffin Canning. It's insane. Juan Soto, he's happy, is he unhappy, is he going to get hot, what's up with Juan Soto, you know, Lindor is the team MVP and unbelievable, and Alonso's having the great years, all that pales in comparison to the great Griffin Canning. The guy's pitching to a 2.3 ERA. He gives you 5 or 6 shutout, well, one-run innings every single game. What the Mets have done with this rotation, particularly Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes, has been mind-bogglingly good. The offense still, you know, has its moments, obviously, and has scored some runs and clearly has a couple of guys hot, and you're getting, you know, Nimmo not having a great year but still putting up some power numbers, and Vientos with another home run coming into his own, Beatty with a couple home runs and some easy opposite field power, and of course Alonso and Lindor doing what they've done. Lindor has been incredible, another clutch home run in the 8th inning yesterday to win a series against the Cubs. But it's the pitching, man. The Cubs have been the best offense in Major League Baseball, and they were shut down by Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes. It's what they're doing right now is crazy. As we get ready for that Subway Series, obviously a lot more throughout the week on that. 888-808-1019 as we get you ready for a big series come Friday. The first time Juan Soto, since leaving the Yankees, will be in the Bronx. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you? Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
And skepticism about these Knicks fans when you lose one game. You're up 2-1 at your home. Yes, they have not played good. This is the day today. And I'm tired of this media conception. The biggest, how was Game 3 the biggest game in the last 45 years when last year we could have gone to the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 6 and Game 7? Hey, we would have won. If we would have won Game 3, that would not have been the biggest game ever. That's not a closing game. We still had two games that we'd have to win, two still games. So tonight is the night when we take it over. We crash Boston Celtics. We show up the New York Knicks. We'll crash Boston Celtics tonight. 20 points, 15 points lead at least. It's a blowout. Let's go, New York Knicks. 3-1 up, and the series will be over in Game 6, and Madison Square Garden will be rocking tonight and Game 6 again.
There you go, Omar. I love the positivity. I'm with you. I'm hopeful the Knicks win tonight. Now, I disagree with you on the biggest game. I'm sorry. That team, by the time, you know, no Randall, the injuries they were dealing with, then they lost OG Anunoby to a hamstring injury. I understand they had some big games. It was against the Pacers team that they were favored to beat. They're playing the Boston Celtics, the defending champs. They won both games in Boston. I'm sorry. The ticket prices say it. The atmosphere, I mean, the energy and what these games mean. This is the biggest game to me. These are the biggest games. Yeah, the Game 3 was the biggest game in Madison Square Garden since the finals in 99. And now this game is the biggest game at Madison Square Garden since Saturday, and before that, since 1999. That's just how I feel. That's how I feel. These games are bigger than last year. They are. They're bigger than last year. I'm sorry. I understand your point. I understand your point. They were, you know, a win away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals. It doesn't feel like this. The energy wasn't there for it, and clearly even, I mean, the ticket prices alone. These are the bigger games. These are bigger games. To win this series would be bigger than beating the Pacers last year. It just would be. Fredo in the Bronx. What's up, Fredo?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, nah, I was just talking about it with my friends right here. I was talking about how the Knicks, hopefully we get a big game out of like Brunson and Carl Anthony Towns today, bro.
Yeah, I completely agree,
honestly,
Fredo.
Because Carl Anthony Towns shooting 5-for-18 and OG sitting on 2 points was absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Today's literally a game 7, so as well.
It's not literally a game 7 because only game 7s are literally game 7s, but I don't disagree that it's very difficult to envision them winning the series without winning this game. It's not over, but it's very difficult to imagine. I agree, Fredo. I'm smart. Not like people say that I'm dumb, I'm smart. And you're right. OG Anunoby, you are smart. OG Anunoby has to be better offensively. They got to find a way to be better offensively. This is one of the better teams in the league offensively. I know they got to play defense. I know you got to limit them to worse than 65% from three. I understand that the Celtics are dangerous. I understand they have a better bench. I understand they have the sixth man of the year. I understand that Al Horford is hitting threes at the top of the key. I understand they have a bunch of different ways to beat you. I understand that Porzingis hasn't even gotten going in the series. I get it. I know the challenge that is presented to them defensively. But this is a team that scored points all year. They've got to find a way to play a complete game offensively and take it to the Celtics and be able to score with them, at least for one night. Tonight is the night. I agree with you. Let's get some points. I want to see Brunson get there early. Everybody, enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the Knick talk. Enjoy the game tonight. I'll catch you after the Yankee postgame. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM.